Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. I'm excited to have the opportunity to share this message with you entitled Confession Brings Healing. Confession is one of the most misunderstood subjects for most Christians. For instance, when they're ill, they feel like they're lying if they say what God's Word says about them instead of saying how their body feels in the natural. It's never wrong to agree and speak in line with God's Word, even if it is in opposition to how you really feel. It's time we understand the confession of our mouth brings healing. I hope that you enjoy this message. I'd like to begin with prayer. Father, what a privilege it is to be able to study your word. We are redeemed. We are set free from all of the power of darkness. We have been delivered from Satan's grip. And I am so thankful for that. I'm so thankful, Father, for the victory that we have in every area of our life because of what Jesus has done for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're so wonderful. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for immersing us in yourself. And I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. In the name of Jesus, I arrest you now. Heavenly Father, I believe that the words that I speak are going to be a blessing to people. They're going to change their lives. Thank you for what we're going to receive here in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this evening, we're going to be discussing some verses regarding the confession of our mouth and how that affects the healing of our bodies. Yeah, that's a real important subject, and kind of falls in line very nicely with what we've been talking about here recently about the ministry of the Holy Ghost, because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to take those words, the faith-filled words that we speak, that are in line with God's word, whether it's a positive confession based on his word or whether we're just speaking God's word over our body as a faith confession. And he's going to cause those to come to pass in our life. He's the one that moves on those faith-filled words and brings them to pass in our physical bodies. So again, it falls very nicely in line with what we've been talking about with his ministry. But let's just jump right in and begin looking at the confessions of our mouth and what we say with our mouth and how important that is in regard to healing. Now, of course, it affects every area of our life, not just healing. The confession of your mouth regarding your finances, what you're saying out of your mouth, how is that affecting your finances, and how is it affecting you, what you're speaking, what you're saying? You know, are you speaking words, faith-filled words, words of life, words in line with God's word? And is that creating an image inside of you, a picture on the inside of you of success? Or are you speaking the words that the rest of the world's saying? You know, how we're all doomed. Everything's going down the toilet. You know, the economy is going down the toilet. The politicians, and they're all, you know, lying to us and this and that, and on it goes. Is that what you're saying? Is the image inside of you in line with what the world is speaking and what the world is saying? Because if it is, then you're going to have problems. And you're not going to know how to change those problems. You're not going to know how to deal with those issues. And I think so many times that lack of understanding of the importance of the image that we have inside of us based on the words of our own mouth, because we don't understand how important it is, and because we have spent so much time saying what the world says, whenever those problems do arise, and they're going to arise, whether it's a financial, whether it's a healing, you know, they're going to come up. There's going to be things that are going to happen in your physical body, or in your spouse, or in your family, and you're going to have to deal with them. And because we have a lack of understanding of the process, we end up wringing our hands, going to God, asking God, God, please heal so-and-so, or please heal me. And it's we speak those words out of a lack of understanding of the fact that it's already accomplished. That's right. Healing is an accomplished fact. You're not trying to talk God into healing you. And yes, God wants you healed. He wants you healed. He wants to heal you. But when we go to Him and we're begging Him more or less to heal us, there's no faith in that. The only place that faith comes is from His Word. And when you go to His Word, 1 Peter 2:24 is going to tell you that by His stripes you were healed. So we're not begging Him to heal us. No, we're receiving what has already been appropriated to us. It's already been set to our account that we have healing in our bodies, that our body is made whole by the stripes of Jesus. All we have to do is say, I believe that I receive this healing in my body, and receive it. Receive what's been accomplished. You know, there's a big difference between receiving something that's already been bought and paid for, that's sitting there waiting for you to accept it, versus having the attitude or the idea that you're going to God and asking Him to heal you, and He's going to have to make up His mind whether He's going to or not. See, that's not the case. Healing has already been accomplished. It's not a matter of talking God into it or convincing Him that you're worthy to be healed. None of that. Healing has been paid for by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and all we have to do is receive it. And when we receive it by confessing with our mouth that we receive what He's done for us. And when we do that, doesn't necessarily mean at that particular moment that the symptoms are going to suddenly disappear. And that's something that many people have trouble with. It's a challenge for them to understand that when you say, I believe I receive my healing, thank you, Father, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, I have received it. I have received my healing, I'm healed. And then you're still coughing, your head still hurts, you still got a fever. But that doesn't change the truth of God's Word and the fact that you are acting on His Word to you. God can't lie. He can't lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. And when He said in His Word that by the stripes of Jesus that you were healed, He wasn't lying. It's an accomplished fact that we simply need to receive. So once we receive it by faith, then our confession is, I thank you, I'm healed. I'm healed, I have it. I believe that I've received it. And hold on to that confession of faith, no matter what your body may try to tell you. At times, I even speak to this body. I'll tell it to line up with the Word. If it's malfunctioning... How you like that? Sickness. It's a malfunctioning body. If it's malfunctioning, I tell it to stop and tell it what it needs to do. And as I say those words, I have actually watched the very action begin to happen that I was confessing for. Now, This is something really close to my heart. I'm becoming more and more passionate about the importance of our confession and what we say. Previously, I don't know, maybe I wasn't quite as passionate about it. Maybe I relied too much on praying in tongues. And I'm not, please don't misunderstand how important I believe praying in tongues is, and I still pray in tongues extensively. But I think I found myself relying too much on praying in tongues, and if anything, I think that I gave my time more to that and found myself just basically laying down the confession message. And that's not right. You can't trade one for the other. Praying in tongues does not take the place of confession. There's no way. It won't do it. You can't accomplish the same thing by praying in tongues that you do with confession. Two completely different things. And I know I've heard people preach that praying in tongues is the perfect confession. I don't agree with that. And here's why. Confession, you have to understand what you're saying. And it has to be based on the Word of God, and it has to be an understanding in your heart. That's what builds the faith for you to have what you're asking for. See, you don't have that when you're praying in tongues because you don't have an understanding of what you're saying. Not taking anything away from praying in tongues. But it doesn't take the place of confession. So, as I said, I'm gaining in my passion for confession and the importance of it. And when you look at this, at the Bible, and you look at all the verses that talk about confession and talk about the fruit of your lips and talks about how important it is what we say, I think you can see why it's something to be passionate about. Because I've watched just in the past week, I've watched how the confession of my mouth has affected my own body. Now, as I share a little bit of the testimony of what's been happening for me physically, I want you to understand something. This isn't something that I started doing a week ago. You know, that's what I think a lot of people want to do. They want to try this confession thing, and they want to, and even some Christians that have been Spirit-filled believers for years, they'll try it for a little while, then they'll lay it down. They'll come back to it later and try it a little while. Well, it doesn't work, and they'll lay it down. See, this has to be a lifestyle. You have, in order for the image inside of you to become clear of what you believe and why you believe it, what you believe about healing, how you see yourself. You know, it takes time. It takes time of you speaking God's word over yourself. And that building of that image of God's word inside of you, it doesn't happen overnight. But it does happen. Gradually, it's like if something begins to grow inside of you. So that once that attack comes, and the attack comes from the enemy. Don't ever think that sickness comes from God. It never does, never will. But the sickness comes straight from the pit of hell. And when that attack from Satan comes against your body, it's going to be important how you see yourself. You know, once you make that declaration, I believe I receive my healing. What's the image inside of you at that very next second? Is it of a sick person trying to get healed? Or do you have you already built up yourself in that area of knowing that once I say it, it's done? Once I confess it, it's over with. See, which one are you? See, you're one or the other. Either you're the person that, you know, you're going to give this a try and you've not done any confessing, and you just give it a try once the symptoms comes, and there's no picture, there's no image inside of you walking in divine health, no, the verses have not been fed inside of you over and over again. You know, see, this is every day I get up in the morning, and I have a certain preacher that I like to, he's got a whole extensive library on confession, and he has healing confessions that you can make along with him. Every morning I get up, I put on my headset, I get my dog, we go for a walk, and while we're walking, I'm making these positive confessions over my body every day. And there's hardly a day I ever miss that. And it has done something, and I think I've been doing that now a couple of years maybe. And it's done something on the inside of me. It has caused me to see myself not as the sick person trying to get healed. See, when the attack comes, it's the enemy trying to get me to accept sickness. I'm the healed person. He's trying to get me to accept sickness. That's not going to work. I'm not going to accept that junk. I'm going to stand against it. Now, you know, this comes to mind as I say that. In the process of standing, you know, or receiving your healing, in the process of the battle, let me put it like this, in the process of the attack, and you receiving your healing and the manifestation coming, is it wrong to go to the doctor? Is it wrong to get some relief from the pain? It's not wrong at all. Here's what the problem lies. It's when you shift your confidence from God's word being the source of your health and your healing to the doctors or to the medicine or to something else, or herbs, if you want to go that route, the natural route, whatever it is. It's when you shift your confidence from the word of God to something else, that's when you've got trouble. As long as you're making your confession, your confidence is in God's word that you're healed. You know, if you need to take something for relief, if you need to go to the doctor for relief, hey, go in faith. But, you know, also realize that some of the medication, the side effects are horrendous. So you need to ask the Holy Ghost to give you wisdom on what to do if you need help in that direction. We're not against doctors. We're not against getting relief whenever you hurt. Heavens, no. I mean, they're fighting the same devil we are. They're just doing it in a different manner. And so we're not against them. But, you know, I do believe that over the course of time, as you walk through battles, as you walk through attacks from the enemy and you receive your healing for this and you receive your healing for that, and you go on and you become more confident, I do see a day as you grow and develop and mature in the things of God, that going to the doctor is something that you it's not an option for you. In your own mind, you realize that God has, that you have grown in the things of God to the point that you know this attack, I have the victory over it. And I don't have to go in any other route. I know that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus and I have received my healing. Praise God. Hey, when you've got that, when you're at that place, you just worship the Lord, you thank Him. Hey, you know, it doesn't mean the symptoms aren't going to leave you alone. The devil's not going to leave you alone. But when you stand firm and your confession doesn't waver, and you speak and you command that devil to take his hands off of you, it's just a matter of time before he leaves you. How long is it, Mark? Well, I can't tell you. I can't give you a time frame. You know, it's just one of those things that you have to experience, walk through some battles, walk through, receive your victories, and then just see how the progression, how you're progressing, how you're growing. There have been times in my own life where the manifestations came quicker than other times. There was times, you know, where I've had just like the flu, common flu, and you know, I've been slow to make the confessions. You know, I think at times we get the idea, oh, this isn't anything, you know, too important. I'll just let it run its course. Baloney. That's ridiculous thinking. You just attack it like a chicken on a bug. Get rid of it. Don't let it stay. And I, you know, there are times that I've been just lazy. Let's just say it the way it is. I've been lazy. I didn't take the time. And again, some of it was I just thought I'd just pray in tongues and I didn't have to deal with the confession aspect of it. Wrong thinking. And it, as a result, I ended up dealing with some things long term that I should never have had to deal with. So let's look here at, let's get into some verses and let's prove these things out with the Word of God. Let's prove out the importance of the confession of our mouth. We're going to begin with Romans chapter 10, and we're going to start reading in verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. See, it has to be in both places, in your heart and in your mouth. Well, how does it get there? Well, you're going to have to take time and put it inside of you by making the confession, speaking it out of your mouth, saying, just going through the verses that talk about your healing and saying those verses. Saying them out loud. Speak it over yourself. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Father God, you sent your word and healed me. You sent your word and healed me. Father, I thank you for sending your word and healing me. See, this is what we have to do. We have to say these verses over and over and over again until they become one with us. And you're not just trying to get over a sickness. It's become a way of life. Big difference. You know, it's a big difference between running and grabbing some verses whenever you find yourself in the middle of an attack. It's too late, folks. You know, thank you, God, for your grace to help us get through those times. But we're talking about establishing a pattern for your life, a pattern of confessing daily over yourself, particularly in the area of healing, confessing over your body, confessing over your heart, over your lungs, over your blood vessels, over the way your brain operates, the way it functions. Over every system in your body. And speak these things every day, that every system of my body functions in the perfection to which God created it to function, and I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. See, did you see how that just flowed? That's one of the confessions I make every day. Every day. And you just flip a trigger and there it goes. Just starts flowing out. Why? Because I have put that inside of me. And it's based on God's word. And that's what we have to do if we're going to walk through this life successfully. If we're going to give the Holy Ghost, if we're going to empower him when we, for healing in our body, give him something that he can work with. And it has to be based on God's word, because that's where faith comes from, and that's what he uses to put us over. It's when we're speaking the word of God. So let's go back here. We looked at Romans 10. Let's go over to Romans chapter 4. We're going to find out about this man by the name of Abraham real quick. Abraham did this, changed his name. God asked him to change his name from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations, when he didn't have any children. He's making a positive faith confession. He's saying, every time he says his name, Abraham, he's claiming, declaring something that does not exist as though it does. He wasn't a father of many nations when God had him change his name in the natural, but he became the father of many nations because he declared it with his mouth. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. This is how God is. God speaks those things as that are not as though they were. You know, you go back to Genesis, you see the picture where the Holy Ghost is brooding over this planet, over this in the darkness. And then God said, let there be light. Light be. And there was light. As soon as God spoke those words, the Holy Ghost caused those words to come into existence, and light came into the sky. And that's how God operates, and that's how he expects his children, us, to operate. You know, whenever the body is malfunctioning, speak to it, tell it to, you know, heart, you beat properly. Heart, you function as God created you to function. You speak those things that are not as though they were. Heart, you are healthy. You're strong. Lungs, you are strong. Kidneys, you are strong in Jesus' name. You say those things that are not as though they were. Now, here's another verse here that I also like to point out whenever we're dealing with teaching on healing. Talking about Abraham, jump down to verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Look at this. This is the writer here, Paul, says, Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So when we're in that process between amen, thank you, Father, and there it is. The manifestation comes. When we're in that standing area where we're waiting on that manifestation of the healing to manifest in our body, well, I tell you what, the best thing is, I thank you, Father, I am made whole. Thank you, Father. I worship you. I worship you. I praise you. Thank you, Father. I am healed and made whole. Thank you. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed and made whole. Father, you sent your word and healed me. Thank you, Father. I worship you, praise you, and glorify you. Well, I tell you what, that you can't do that. You can't do that and keep doing it and keep doing it and stay sick. It's going to change. Amen. Let's look over here at another favorite verse. It's in Mark chapter 11. Yes, it's. I'm sure everyone's listening here is familiar with this verse. Let's look at it again here. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. And for some reason, I don't know what it is, but Christians think they're lying for speaking to the mountain to be removed and cast into the sea. They think that they just don't think it's going to work. They feel silly talking to their body, telling it to stop malfunctioning, telling their heart to beat properly or whatever the case is, whatever is wrong, telling their blood sugar, if they have diabetes, to be normal, telling their blood pressure to be 120 over 80. You know, they feel silly. It's like, why am I doing this? This can't work. And all the time, Jesus told us to speak to the mountain. But what do? We do everything else but speak to the mountain. We talk about the mountain. We describe the mountain in great detail to our family. We tell them how giant the mountain is. It's probably the biggest mountain in the whole world. You know, and you know, that's not going to produce anything. Talking about the mountain doesn't do you any good at all. What you have to do is talk to the mountain, not about it. You don't have to describe it to your family and your friends so they'll feel sorry for you. Baloney. That's just nonsense. And the more you talk about it, the bigger it gets in your mind. The bigger that image inside of you is that you're sick. And then before you know it, you're going to die. And you've talked yourself into it. Instead of talking yourself out of it, talking yourself into healing and divine health. You can do one or the other. You can either magnify the problem or magnify the solution. What's it going to be? And, you know, I speak from experience. I've done both. I've talked about the mountain and fell right into that trap, telling everybody how big the mountain is instead of talking to it. And thank God that's not my recent history. That's a little bit farther back when I was guilty of that mistake. But talking about the mountain, it doesn't move it, doesn't change it, just makes it bigger in your own eyes and harder to get rid of. So let's just do what Jesus said. He said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. See, there you go with the heart again. That is so important. What is in our heart? What's the image inside of us? How do we see ourselves? Do we see ourselves as just one step out of the grave? You know, do you see yourself just, you know, ready to fall apart? You know, you get a little bit older, you know, you start slowing down, and next thing you know, you just see yourself in a wheelchair, you see yourself in a rest home or something. You got to change that image. I mean, you know, think about men like Moses, you know, that they were strong in their latter years. Joshua, Caleb, these guys, you know, they weren't little sissies. They weren't waiting to die, ready to somebody roll them into a grave. You know, these guys were healthy and strong late in life. Moses lived 120 years old. That's not too bad. However long you live, don't leave the planet with sickness and disease killing you and running you out of here. No way. Don't let the devil win. He's already lost. We might as well enforce his defeat. Now, that's what Jesus expects out of us. Glory to God. And I say this to myself as well as to you. So let's look at this verse 23 again. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have, not maybe, not possibly, not 30% of the time, not 60% of the time, 100%. When you say he shall have, that means 100% of the time. If you do this, if you speak to the mountain, if you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe those things you say shall come to pass, you shall have 100% of the time whatsoever you say. Now, we're not talking about saying stupid stuff, folks. I'm talking about speaking in line with God's word. You know, sadly, there were people that took the confession message and they ran off the cliff with it, saying stupid stuff like, you know, I believe I receive a 1,000 pumping oil wells. Oh, you can't have faith for that. You know, it's just ridiculous how people they take a truth and they run off with it, a lot of times trying to gratify their own flesh. We're talking about taking God's word, putting it in your mouth, speaking it over yourself, and seeing the results. This isn't a get rich quick deal. This is a lifestyle of speaking over yourself what belongs to you as a child of the living God. That's who you are. And the problem is that we're so inundated with being living on this planet, living in this world. We have this nonstop brainwashing going on, and it's a struggle to think these thoughts. And I'm holding up God's word. These are God's thoughts, and it's such a struggle and to get these thoughts inside of us, coming out of our mouth instead of the things of this world coming out of our mouth. But that's what we have to do if we're ever going to see the fruit of God's word in our life. So, which one do you want to have? I want to have the fruit of God's word, because it says, I shall have whatsoever I say. I want that. I don't want what the world has to offer. So I'll give you a little more of my testimony from just this week. You know, whenever a man gets a certain age, they say, well, you know, you got your prostate and it can get, it can enlarge and then it affects your kidneys and everything else. And lo and behold, I was starting to deal with having difficulty expelling the fluids from my body. My kidneys started acting up. And so my confession was that in the name of Jesus, that there was no blockage in my urinary tract, no blockage whatsoever in Jesus' name, that urine flowed through my body the way it's supposed to, that my prostate is the right size, that it's not enlarged in Jesus' name. And that's all I'll say. I won't say anything else. I'm not going to talk about the symptoms. I'm not going to talk about anything else. And yes, as I walk through this, I'm doing anything that I can do to maybe try to relieve some of the pressure at times, but my confidence isn't in that. My confidence is in God's word coming out of my mouth, because that's what's going to change the situation. And I have already seen it change, folks. I mean, we went from, let me put it like this. We went from situation critical, which was approximately last Thursday night, to where it's not that way. And I thank God for that, because it's God's word coming out of my mouth that has changed the situation. And it'll do the same thing for you. You don't have to put up with the lies from Satan trying to convince you, painting all these pictures of these symptoms getting worse, and then you're going to die. I mean, that's what it usually always leads to, doesn't it? I mean, let's just get serious. It's always this negative thing will happen, and then this negative thing will happen, and then this negative thing, and then you're going to die. I mean, that's just the mantra of the devil right there. He'll do anything to get you to accept that. downward spiral to death. Don't accept it. Just stand against it. Speak God's word. It'll never change. God's not a liar. He can't lie. And if you'll do that, you're going to have the fruit of what God said. All right, let's go and look at some verses back in the Old Testament, particularly the book of Proverbs. I want to establish in your mind, and I believe this is really the mind of the Holy Ghost for tonight, what the Word of God says regarding the confession of your mouth. Because particularly here in the book of Proverbs, there is just a ton of verses dealing with the confession of our mouth. The first one we're going to look at is going to be Proverbs 12:14. I'm going to just look these up. I may not look all of them up. I may just read them off my little sheet here. But 12:14 says, "A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth." A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 12:18. "There is that speaketh like piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Think about that. The tongue of the wise is health. Let's go to Proverbs 13, verse 3. "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." If you keep your mouth, you keep your life. Boy, that's good news. So I need to watch what I say. And I'm not saying that you have to, you know, just be a legalist about it. Because here again, this is where people fall off in the ditch on the other side. Oh, you can't say that. And they run around like they got a badge or something. Oh, you can't make that confession. You know, there are times that you just, you know, things might slip. But what we're talking about is where you have habit of saying like doubt and unbelief and fearful and things that are negative about your physical body. Though, you know, you have a lifestyle of doing that. That's a big difference than, you slip here or there. Proverbs 14:3. "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." Well, I want to be preserved, don't you? The lips of the wise, the lips. What's coming out of your mouth? The lips of the wise, that's what will preserve you. What are you saying? What are you speaking? "I say that my body is healthy and strong. I say that my heart is strong. I say all the systems of my body function perfectly in Jesus' name." Glory to God. "My eyes are healthy. I hear perfectly in Jesus' name. As I put these glasses on, and these things bug me too, I'm telling you. I need to do better on my confessing over my eyes." Verse 15:4 says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A tree of life. You know, the tree of life in the garden. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Well, I want to eat from that tree. Well, all you have to do is change what you're saying with your mouth. Make it line up with the Word of God. Let's go back to chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 11. Proverbs 10:11 says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Boy, don't you get that picture of life coming up from the inside? See, that's what's happening. The spirit of man is where that's where the Holy Ghost lives, and he's giving life through that spirit to this physical body. That's what he wants to do. And that's what you're empowering him to do when you're making positive confessions over your physical body. You're giving him license to do this. You're empowering him to give life to this body. Hallelujah. Well, let's flip over to the chapter 21, verse 23. These verses, reading these verses, this is going to help you, getting this inside of you, convincing your mind of the power that's in your words. Verse 23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." What is coming out of your mouth? What are you saying? Is it causing you trouble? Are you only talking the death and destruction that this world is talking? Because that's all it's going to produce, is death and destruction. See, instead of giving license to the Holy Ghost to empower God's word in your life, when you speak that fear and that death and destruction, you're giving license to the enemy to cause that stuff to come to pass in your life. Which one do you want? Okay, let's go back to chapter 12. Sorry for flipping around here so much. Verse 6. Proverbs 12, 6 says, The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. That's how I feel that for myself for this week. I feel like the words of my mouth have delivered me. What I said with my mouth, the confessions that I've made have delivered me from this attack of the enemy. His intent, when he comes, it's not just to give you a bad day. He comes to destroy you. He wants to destroy you and get you off the planet. So what are you going to do? Are you going to empower the Holy Ghost to fight on your behalf, to cause God's word to come to pass in your life, in your physical body? Or are you going to side with the enemy by speaking fear and doubt and unbelief? I know what I want. Proverbs 18, verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Oh my God, let me read that again. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. You know, unfortunately, sadly, that's the case for many Christians. Their mouth is what they say, what they're saying with their mouth is leading to their own destruction. You know, to hear a Christian say something like, you know, I think I'm going to get sick with this or whatever, it's just an atrocity. You know, you're just opening the door to the enemy anytime you make those kind of statements. And let's go down in chapter 18, go to verse 20 and 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. This is a great proverb to end this section on Proverbs. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Which one are you going to have working in you, death or life? It's in the power of the tongue. And you're going to have one or the other. And so you have to choose. If it's going to be the word of God, then don't say anything that contradicts this word. hold on to this word, say this word, keep saying it, because it is guaranteed to come to pass as long as you believe it and you don't turn loose of it. It will come to pass. And how can you say that, Mark? Well, go, if you will, over to Isaiah 55. I believe this is the one. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word. Isn't that what I just said? His word, God's word. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall not return. It shall not return unto me void. Impossible. God's word will not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. There is your ironclad guarantee. It's hard to find guarantees on anything anymore. You might get a 90-day guarantee, but at, 91st day, you're out of luck. This is your ironclad guarantee. No matter how long you, as long as you don't doubt, and as long as you will hang on to His word, here's what He said: His so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth; it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. If you don't turn loose, if you hold on, you have His guarantee that it is not going to return unto Him void. It's going to accomplish what it was sent here to accomplish. Is God's word good enough for you? He can't lie. He can't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will not change. Hallelujah. Let's look at chapter 57 in Isaiah, since we're there, in verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will heal him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what have we been looking at tonight? We've been looking at the words of our mouth, the confession of our mouth. What are we saying? What is the image that those words have built on the inside of us? Is it a picture of success? Victory? Is it a picture of you walking through this life in a healthy body? Or are the words of your mouth, are they in agreement with the enemy? Are they in agreement with those thoughts that tend to bombard our mind whenever we're under an attack from the enemy? Those thoughts of failure, defeat, destruction, death, is that the image you have inside of you? And if so, is that what you're speaking out of your mouth? Because it's so important what you're saying, in the fact that you have the authority as a human being on this planet. God has delegated authority to you in the name of Jesus. And you can use the God-given authority to run the devil off, or you can use the authority that you have as a human being on this planet and empower Satan to literally destroy you and just wipe you off the planet. And you're the one that gave him the license to do it. You're the one that spoke the doubt, the unbelief, the fear, the destruction. Because you said things that were the way they were, instead of speaking those things that are not as though they were. Well, Mark, I felt like I was lying. No, You're not lying when you're doing what God told you to do. And he said, this is the way I am. It's not lying. It's not sin. God doesn't sin. So he wants us to be like him. He wants us to speak those things that are not as though they were. He wants us to speak to the mountains. Be removed, be cast into the sea. Have no doubt in our heart, but believe. Believe what? Believe those things that we say shall come to pass. We shall have whatsoever we say. Well, Mark, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, it doesn't work by trying. It works by doing and believing. And this isn't going to work for you just trying it once or twice. It has to become a lifestyle. That's the part right there where most people, I believe, miss it. They want to try this, and they try it for a little while, and then they give up. It doesn't work that way. The way this works is it is a way of life. It is it becomes, these words that you speak become ingrained in you. They're part of you. And that's why when you speak them out, it's not just coming out of your mind like something that you memorized. You know, it's coming out of your heart because it's who you are. You have, this has been ingrained in you. And you speak this out, and it has force and weight behind it because you believe what you're saying is coming to pass, and you shall have whatsoever you say. Glory to God. Mark, does it work? It works. Have you seen it work, Mark? Yes, I have. I've seen it work. I've seen it work multiple times. Multiple times. Is it easy? It's a challenge sometimes. I'll just be truthful with you. It is a challenge at times. Why is it a challenge, Mark? At times your body wants to just give up. That's why. The pain can be real. It is real. I mean, the pain's real. And the symptoms are real. But it doesn't mean that they have to stay. See, that's where you have to make the stand, put your foot down, draw a line. It's not going to overtake me in Jesus' name. And that's where the fight is, whether or not you're going to hold on to what you believe and know in your heart or whether you're going to turn loose of it. Well, let me pray for you. And I'm going to pray that you, God's grace, that his grace is poured out in your life and that you're going to be empowered to do this, to live this life that he's told us to live, where we're speaking those things that are not as though they were. Heavenly Father, Father, your word has outlined to us a way of life that is so foreign to us on this world. We speak things that are as though they are on this planet. You know that. And Father, speaking things that are not as though they were, it's so foreign and it takes time. And I pray for every person listening that they will be, that your grace will be poured out in their life and empower them to do this, to speak things that are not as though they were, until they believe it, until that change has an opportunity to take place inside of them, till it's so ingrained in them that when the enemy comes and tries to convince them otherwise, that they can easily run him off. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. I thank you for victory in every area of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.